But we're getting there. We're continuing to our series this morning to look into 1 Peter, look into the different aspects of a disciple's life. And remember that Peter wrote this book for those who were incredibly persecuted at the time of probably about 60-70 Christian era, you know, just after Jesus' death, about 40-50 years later, when he writes to them and tries to encourage them in their very difficult life that they were experiencing now that they became Christians, now that they become followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. He tries to tell them basically that becoming a Christian, it doesn't mean we're going to have a nice plain sailing, but there's going to be difficult times. And he teaches them, he nourishes them, encourages them, and tries to explain to them what it means to be a new believer, but also what it means to be a suffering believer for Christ, a disciple of Jesus. Because usually we get the idea that if I come to Christ, if I make him Lord and Savior, then I have no cancer, I have no problem financially, I have no more problems whatsoever in my life. And that's not truth. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ, it does mean that we take up our cross and we follow him. And that sometimes goes through the cross to a bigger, much bigger purpose that God has for us, through an empty tomb, through a day, one day in his glory. Now, I love brass bands. I absolutely love them. I think Josh introduces as a family to this kind of music as he started at the age of 10, 11 years old with a small little brass band in Cheltenham. And although now he plays all over the world in big orchestras, when he gets the opportunity to play in a brass band, he will go back and play. He just loves it. And I love it too. I love the sound of it. It's nothing like it, especially when you hear people like Black Dyke or Corey bands, who are absolutely amazing. And we've been all over this country to hear them sometimes play. And from time to time, Josh comes somewhere in Yorkshire to be part of a marching brass band. There are several of them throughout the country that meet in Yorkshire, and they march to different villages. And the idea is that they compete as they march, and some people will join them behind them if they think that's the best brass band. And as I was talking with Josh about 2 years ago about this, I don't know, was it last year, I think, whatever it was, he said that usually we found out that the ones that drums the better drummer in the brass band, that's where people go to follow. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. And you can see some brass bands don't have a drummer, usually, but some do. I've never been to one marching one to see Josh play with them. But that's what he said. They usually people will follow those who got a better drum beat. And Peter here in this chapter 4, he says that therefore, when you hear that word again, therefore, remember last time I was telling you that he told us, he argued that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all life, including the deaf, including the living, including the creation. He is the Lord of all life. And therefore, then he says to the people of Rome at the time in Eastern Asia, he says to them, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself also with the same attitude. With the same attitude as Jesus Christ. There are two drumming beats that go in a Christian life. It's the drum beat that we've been following BCE, before our conversion to Christ, and is a drum beat that we follow after we become Christians. And this is what Peter is dealing with in this first 12 verses of chapter 4. I'm only going to talk about the first drum beat and very little refer to the second drum beat of this chapter. The first drum beat is that one before we became Christians, that we follow easily, or we used to follow very easily. And Peter says, do not follow that drumbeat. take a step back and look to see where it's leading. It might sound good to the ear, to the heart here, but it's not the right path that you are following. I wonder if sometimes, especially before we became Christians, or even now as Christians, we follow a drumbeat that is based on, and I wrote some things down for me here that I identify within myself. I follow sometimes a childhood hurt, the drumbeat of that and the pain that that brings. I follow sometimes the seeking the desire to be famous drumbeat. We tend to follow the insecurity about personal values drumbeat. We seem to follow the need to get even, to get revenge drumbeat. Or we follow the desire to please others. What is the drumbeat that you follow? There is someone in each one of us, a drumbeat that we usually like to play by, to follow gladly, knowing full well that it's not right to be joining that kind of melody. The list can carry on. The need to have a good, solid plan for retirement or whatever. The need to be liked. The need to be approved. It could be also the need to serve God and His kingdom. It could be also the need to have a heart of hospitality and compassion. The list can be very, very long. And Peter writes of these two drumbeats. The first one that I just mentioned, and there from verses 7 onwards, verses 7, 8 onwards, till verse probably 11, he talks of a different one. And then from 12 onwards, even in a different drumbeat that he advises us to take on. So those are two basic drumbeats. The one we follow before we became Christians, and the one we follow once we have become disciples of Jesus Christ. And that not only applies to us individuals, but also applies to us as churches, as sometimes we follow different drumbeats of tradition, of worship styles, of sermons, of projects, of visions, or whatever it is. And Peter reminds us that we need to come back to listen to the heartbeat of God's heart. That is very important in determining where we're going, who we're dancing with, who we're dancing for in life. I know that we all want to serve God, but do we want to basically stay the same? Or are we willing to do whatever is necessary to be fully formed? And the psalmist says, "Search me and know me, O God. Know my thoughts." That's the most sincere and powerful prayer that you can ever pray as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because if God comes in and searches and pulls some weeds out, some deals with some pain and brings some healing, you might have to follow a different drumbeat. And it will be a right one, the one of Jesus Christ. And so Peter says to them, look, before you became Christians, before you became disciples of Jesus Christ, you had three things to really you march after. And the first one is this: you had the desires of your heart march to a different drumbeat, to a different tune. As a result, they did not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. The drumbeat of desires is one of the most powerful that we usually follow. We indulge in desires these days. God gives us great gifts, our work, our families, our whatever, inheritance, heritage, whatever it is, our pleasure. And nothing is wrong with all this. We can have big cars and big houses and lots of money. Nothing wrong with it. And I don't want to stand here in judgment on all that stuff. But when we live for this kind of desires, when we try to find our glory through them, then we've got a problem. Then we're marching to the drum beat of another band that is not leading to the cross. The way we wage war with our over desire is, as Peter puts it, to arm yourself with this thought. And Peter brought it up. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. The way to deal with over desires, with indulgence in desires of this world, as Peter puts it, the way to overwhelm it is with a better desire, a desire more beautiful than the one that we're marching at. The way to deal with those desires is to bring them to the cross. And then later on in the chapter, you will see that Peter describes what are the other desires that we need to align our hearts to in order to march that drumbeat: hospitality, love one another, care for one another, respect one another, and so on. And he contrasts them with those in verses 3 and 4 here, with debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, detestable idolatry, and so on. The cross is the place where our song turns from "I'll do it my way" to "have your own way, Lord, have your own way." The cross is where we come to senses. Where am I looking for achievement or pleasure in life, or nice looks or retirement, or a good sermon to save me when I already have a savior? Peter says, "That's the drumbeat that you used to do before you became disciples of Jesus Christ. Now you become disciple of Jesus, the drumbeat is different, and it's one of suffering. It's one of following Jesus Christ, picking up the cross and going to wherever he leads. It's a different drumbeat altogether, altogether." A couple of years ago, I read that book, To End All Wars, and now it's made in a great movie. No easy movie to watch, but a great movie written by the World War II veteran, Ernest Gordon. And those were prisoners of war that were taken into to work in on River Kwai. As they were working for about, I think they've been given 18 months to finish this railway, which was almost impossible. Then that time was reduced to 12 months, only about 30, 40 people of them to try and finish that 450 kilometers, that's about 300 miles railway. As they finished the railway, they all put their shovels back into where they had to be put into that kind of a shed. And one was missing. One shovel was missing. So the big Japanese commander came out and said, "The one who has taken the shovel, step forward." Now, nobody wanted to step forward because nobody has taken it. In the end, one guy steps forward and he is beaten to death. Later on, the officer goes into the shed. He counts the shovels, and the shovels were all there. It was a miscounting. It's that kind of image that Christ has done for us onto that cross, a reminder of communion today, that he has taken that penalty, that beating, when he didn't actually stall the shovel. So our desire must align up to God's leading of his spirit and his kingdom values. Then it's not just our desires that we're wrongly marching to the wrong drumbeat, but also our commitments, or as Peter puts it here, our time. When we give our time to, when we spend our time to. For you have spent enough time before you became Christians, before you came to Christ, in the past doing what pagans used to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, and so on. But now, Peter says, you've got to redeem all that time. Whenever you ask a person who becomes a Christian, a newly Christian, you ask what he regrets the most, he or she will say that, "I haven't become a Christian sooner enough. regretting my lost time for so many years. And this is what Peter is talking about here. Lost time and remaining time. Make the most of the remaining one. Okay, that's gone. What is lost, but make the most of what is left. Glorifying God through your life, through everything that you have. Begin to learn to march to a different drumbeat into your life that leads to the cross of Jesus. And finally and lastly, very briefly, I'm going to share this with you because I'm going to talk about it in a couple of weeks' time when I look at the second drumbeat that Peter talks about in this chapter. But I'll just very briefly mention here. And this is where he calls us now to. Because you have become a Christian, because you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to leave the drumbeat march of that band and you're going to move on to this one of loving each other, forgiving one another deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. A multitude of sins. Steve Green just passed me this week a video, and it is a DVD of Richard Wurmbrand. It looks like Release International, 50 years since his release of Richard Wurmbrand's release from prison, they issued this new DVD. And in this DVD, Richard says, actually, it'll be good to watch it together as a church. It's only just over an hour. It'll be fantastic to watch it one day. In this DVD, Richard Wurmbrand, the Romanian Lutheran pastor, of course, who was a Jew, he said, when we'll be into God's presence one day, we will not be judged how many times we've been to church, how many good sermons we've listened to, how much service we provided to the world, but we'll be measured up, we'll be judged by the measure of our love to all people. I've heard him preach that, and I forgot it, till I've rewatched this video again this week. That's what we're going to be judged by, the measure of our love to all people. Love covers a multitude of sin. You were marching at the drumbeat of judgment on the world, where you were critical of the world and its path. But Christ now calls you to a different drumbeat, that of showing love at all costs. And I love in the movie, I watched the movie, what was it called? To End All Wars. It's not easy, as I said, it's not easy movie to watch, but at the end, the Japanese are running away because the Americans come in and they bomb the camp. And then in the camp arrives a jeep full of Japanese wounded people. And these American and Scottish guys who have been there for over, whatever, 2 years in the camp, beaten and brutalized and starved to death, they could have taken their revenge on those people who arrived, the Japanese who arrived wounded soldiers. But you know what they did? They took them off the jeep, washed their wounds, gave them their medicine and the little food that they had, and they cared for them. The power of forgiveness, the power of love on each other, stretches to all people. This is the kind of a drumbeat that leads to the cross. The Christ calls us to follow as a reminder of this meal today. It's a different drumbeat that the world calls us to follow compared to that of Christ. Our relationships are one of love. Are one of love. And it's very clear teaching in the New Testament that God wants more than a routine and a religious obedience. How many of us really, we love Christ and we confuse our love for Him with our service to Him. First and foremost, what Christ looks in us and wants from us is our hearts more than our service. Because once He's got our hearts, once He's got us into the drumbeat of His kingdom, we cannot but lavish love on all people. Serve Him to no end, but to the end of the earth. And so, to close this, I've started this message saying the psalmist says, "Search me and know me, O Lord. See if there's anything wrong within me." There is a desire within us to sit down and think and reflect. What kind of drumbeat do I follow? Debauchery, which is lust, an excess of lust. Lust, sinful passion, desire. It's not just about sex, it's about everything. Drunkenness, orgies. In that time was a wild party that were going a bit like the carnivals today. Carousing, drinking spells, perhaps connected with pagan religious rites. Binge drinking today. Idolatry. Oh, where shall I start about that? Which drumbeat do you and I are following? Have a look in the heart and listen to see which band you follow. The only way we can deal with some of these drumbeats is to learn to dance to the drumbeat of praise, of worship, of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, fully, fully surrender to Him. And so as we reflect on that, we're going to sing a couple of songs to help us focus the drumbeat of our hearts to the drumbeat of God's heart. Jesus Christ says, "I think upon your sacrifice." Peter says, "We've been completely, completely cleansed, washed, purified, forgiven through His righteousness." As we think about that sacrifice, our lives align to the praises of Jesus Christ, to a life that He calls us to follow, obey, serve, not out of a religious duty, but out of a fully surrendered heart to Him. Please remain seated for this couple of songs that we're going to sing.